Welcome to our special edition of Health and Wealth In-Depth program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. We are speaking with Brian Homer of the Hoyt Moraine Homer Law Firm in Jefferson as we talk about estate planning and wills. And so, Brandon, if you wouldn't mind, just first of all, start out by telling us, what does it mean to have an estate plan, and is it different from having a will?
Sure. So I'll answer that by addressing the second portion of the question first by saying that a will is oftentimes a piece of the puzzle when it comes to setting up an estate plan. A will is a mechanism that is typically in writing that sets out what it means to who's going to manage your estate, so your affairs after death, and how the assets that you have at the time of death are going to be distributed, the who gets what sort of thing. Having a more encompassing estate plan would include not just the who gets what, managing assets after death, but also managing and having ideas about the care of yourself, your family, your business and financial assets, even prior to death, which includes other documents aside from just a will.
Can you tell us what items are recommended to be included in an estate plan?
Sure. So this is the part where I would say, if this were on TV or something, there'd be a disclaimer in the corner that this is a topic that covers lots of things. In fact, there are whole law school seminars and semester-long classes on estate planning. If I had to pin down what would be the basics of sort of an entry-level estate plan, I would say it consists of at least three documents, the first of which is the one we've already talked about, being the will. A will, as I said, identifies family members and other people that you might intend to inherit from you. It also directs how those assets are to be distributed after death and after the estate is fully administered. Who is going to be in charge of managing those affairs? That's the executor that's named in the will. And of course, a very important thing of putting together a will is that somebody actually has the mental competency to do so. So they have to be able to articulate the things that they own, the people that they intend to inherit from them, and have a general mental competency to be able to make decisions for themselves. Of course, as I mentioned, this is a complex issue, so there are definitely legal specifics that you're going to want to go and talk to a professional about so you can get the ins and outs of the specific details tailored to your needs. Two documents that I would say as part of a basic plan would be power of attorney documents. A general power of attorney, which in Iowa is sometimes called a statutory power of attorney. That's where the person is identifying what's called an agent to help make decisions for them while they're still alive in the event that they either become incapacitated or sometimes often later in life when older folks are just don't want to make decisions for themselves anymore. The general power of attorney covers things like ongoing business operations, financial assets, managing those assets, paying bills, banking, all of those things. So you can name an agent under a general power of attorney to help manage your affairs while you're still alive. The third document is what's called a healthcare power of attorney, and by its very name, that's exactly what it is. You're naming an agent during your lifetime to help make healthcare decisions when you're in a situation where you can't make those yourself. Like, the best example that I give is if you were in a car accident and you're in the doctor's office or an ER somewhere and you simply can't articulate to the doctor what your wants or needs are for healthcare services, that agent that you name in the healthcare power of attorney then can make those decisions for you.
So those can be two different people then, or can they be the same person, the general power of attorney and healthcare power of attorney?
They absolutely can be different people, and that is pretty frequent. You definitely want to name somebody that you trust in either of those documents, including the will as well for your executor. Oftentimes what I've found is that it's either a spouse, of course, if you have a spouse that's alive, or an adult child, or perhaps adult children, multiple. Oftentimes the general power of attorney might be somebody different because one of your children has more experience in financial matters. And the healthcare power of attorney might be the kid that is closest to you so that they can actually arrive at the facility if needed.
And then you just talked a little bit about the executor. So again, just kind of reiterate for us what the executor is allowed to do with an estate plan.
Sure. So the executor only steps in once something has happened to you, meaning that you've passed away. A will is only effective after death. Now, it's valid before death, assuming that it meets all kinds of legal qualifications, but the executor doesn't step into their duties until after you've passed away. The executor is the person that's appointed by the will to be in charge of managing your assets and eventually distributing them after you're gone. So they're in charge of the who gets what aspect. But there's a lot more that goes into what it means to be an executor than just distributing cash and real estate and stuff like that after death. You have lots of responsibilities, including acquiring or getting your hands on all of the person's assets, valuing those assets, also notifying beneficiaries, creditors, the public of the death of the person, and paying taxes, debts, last expenses, if there are any, and of course, then eventually distributing the assets to the extent that there were any left.
We will be back with more of our program on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.